There? Amen. Thank you for the amen. Psalms 33:6, it says, by the word, what is this? The word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Amen. Is there power in the word of God? Amen. Yeah, Jesus spoke, didn't he? He spoke, and things happen. It's how does he speak to us? Through his word. You know, this isn't just a book. This is him communicating with us. And his word has power. It has power to create. And in sometimes, many times, we need to be recreated in his image. Amen? And it had the power to create man in the Imago Dei in Genesis 2. It said, in the image of God, right? Or is that 1:27? But anyway, the point is that we are created. His word creates. It has power. And today, many of these beautiful things get set on the shelf for way too long. This is the power of God. It's his way of communicating with us today, the truth, the light, the way toward heaven. Amen? This word is powerful. It can change lives. It can transform them. And so his word is his voice to us. Let's look at John 10:4 for a minute. John 10:4. By the way, I'm trying to come out of my comfort zone. I usually like to stay behind the pulpit. But I told them, yeah, let's go ahead and use the, you know, lapel mic and walk around. That might be different. So bear with me. Trying something new. John 10:4. Are you there? All right. John 10:4. And it says this. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. So Jesus is the who? The good shepherd, right? And who are his sheep? We are. I was reading in one somebody's home I was visiting this week, Psalms 23. It's a powerful text, isn't it? I don't know, but I would say it's one of the probably most popular texts in the Bible. Definitely one of the most popular chapters, right? Psalms 23. But it talks about how the Lord takes care of his people. You using the analogy of a shepherd caring for his sheep, but that's true. He cares for us today, and we are his people. And he says something very remarkable in this verse about his sheep. What does it say? They follow him and they know. They know his voice. I'm not going to embarrass you right now, but if I were to ask you to raise your hand, if you know God's voice, would you be able to raise your hand? Think about that. Do you know God's voice? If he were to speak to you, would you recognize it? There's a deceiver out there, right? We're warned against hearing his voice. But do you know he speaks to us too? So have you learned to differentiate the voice of Jesus from the voice of God? I remember when I was first starting to pastor, I was talking to the pastor that I was assistant pastor for 6 months under another pastor, and he was telling me a story. He said, yeah, I had this couple came to church. They were Seventh-day Adventists, and they were on their way to Florida. And this was happening, I think he said, in Oklahoma. That's where I started pastoring anyway. But anyway, so he said that that they were asking for some help with gas money. And, well, he always tried to help people when they need it, right? So he wanted to, you know, hear their story a little more. And do you know, he found out that these Seventh-day Adventists had heard a voice, and they were being obedient to the voice they heard. The voice told them that they needed to travel to Florida and kill someone. How many do you think that was the voice of Jesus? No. No, I can't even believe a Seventh-day Adventist would do that. Can you? That's hard to imagine for me. But if we're not clear on God's voice, we might do anything. We need to know the voice of the Lord. Amen? We can find it right here. God speaks to us right here in his word, and we can know his voice. We can recognize it. What does it mean in Hebrews 4:12 that we just read? Hebrews 4:12, you can turn back there. If you left a marker there, you can turn there quickly. It says, for the word of the Lord is living and powerful. Now, we talked about it being powerful. God's word is powerful. It can change our lives. I believe it's changed my life. I hope it's changed yours and many of the people you know. But what does it mean it's living? The word is living. This is just like black and white. I mean, it's just a book like any book, right? This word is living. It's alive. What do we mean by that? Well, turn with me to another text here, John chapter 1 and verse 1. And again, leave your marker in Hebrews 4:12. We're going to come back to it again. John 1, 1. And I want to do something. Now, I know we don't all have the same version. I have the New King James Version. So I'm going to favor the New King James persons. But you can just kind of, if you don't have New King James, you can read it to yourself. But those who have New King James, I want you to read out loud. I want you to read with me verse 1. New King James Version, verse 1, John 1, 1. Are you ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is living. The Word is God himself. It's Jesus. It's a person. It's not just information. It's not just history. It's not just poetry or philosophy or prophecy, right? The Word of God is alive. It's a person. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Amen? He's living. And can he interact with us today, or is he too busy? I mean, he's not here, right? He's up in heaven, and prayer must be important, right? Because he's the intercessor in the heavenly sanctuary. He's interceding for us, but he's also interacting with us today through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Jesus is interacting with us, and he interacts with us through the Word. Of course, the Holy Spirit helped what? The Bible writers to make the Word of God. Now, this is an interesting point. Think about it. Jesus was what? Both human and divine. The Bible, it says of itself that it's both what? Human. It was written by people, right? But it's also what? Divine. It's the Word of God. So just like Jesus, it's human and divine. And so an interesting thought there. But the point is that this Word is living. Now, one of the ways, and I shared this, Gracie, she's kind of a special lady. She's already heard this part of the sermon. She attends the school in OMAC, and I was talking to the students, and I told them about this very verse. I said, what does it mean to be living? And I said, it means that Jesus knows us. How many of you would agree with Jesus knows you, right? He made each one of us. I said, Jesus knows each one of us. And so when he speaks through his word to us, he says something based on your experience and your unique person. He knows your story. And so what you might get from one verse and what I get from the same verse might be different. It's because the Holy Spirit, the Bible is living, and he's speaking to you based on your story. There, of course, is an abstract part of the word too, right? There's the truth that is taught, this particular truth, and we can't just twist it and say, well, I get something different than you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that God is speaking to you today when you read his word. He is communicating something to you unique and special based on your story. So therefore, we should really what? Love the word of God. Because every time we open its pages and we say, God, I'm listening, speak to me, he will do that through his word. And we will think of something and how what we're reading relates to our life when? Today. Today. He's living is means that he's interacting with us on a daily basis. A moment-by-moment basis as we connect to him. So, I said in today's message, we'll look at three small things that can make big impacts with our life. The first one is the first small thing that can make a big impact in our lives is recognize who is speaking. Recognizing who is speaking to us. Amen? But here's also where it gets interesting, and I already said this actually, that we may hear something different than someone else, and that's okay. But therefore, we may each get a unique personal message from him by reading scripture. And our second small take-home that can have a big impact is to listen to his voice. Get to know him. What do you say? Amen. You know, some of you, there's a thing that was put in the bulletin here today, and it has some interesting things in it. I wanted to really look at something that was in the fourth paragraph there. Under final moments, it says, when the time of trial shall come, there are men now preaching to others who will find, upon examining positions they hold, that there are many things for which they can give no satisfactory reason. Until thus tested, they knew not their great ignorance. There are many in the church who take it for granted that they understand that what they believe. But until controversies arrive, they do not know their own weakness. When separated from those of like faith and compelled to stand singly and alone to explain their beliefs, they will be surprised. This is the fourth paragraph again. I'm in the middle here. They will be surprised to see how confused are their ideas of what they had accepted as truth. That's from Last Day Events, page 70. It says, desperately, they will run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall find it, and shall not find it. Sorry, Amos 8, 11 through 12. And like the foolish virgins searching high and low for the last minute oil, it is what? Too late. It is too late. We're told that we will be tested in every point of our belief. Are you ready to be tested? I don't like tests. I've always done poorly on tests. But if I'm going to be tested, I want to get ready, don't you? One of the things we can be, ways we can be ready is by putting God's word into our hearts and minds. How shall a young man keep from sinning? By keeping to his law, right? By keeping to his word. Thy word is truth. And so, yeah, it's important. But also, I wanted to also comment on this parable here. It says, you know, like the foolish virgins. Do you remember that parable in Matthew 25 about the, how many virgins were there? 10. 10 represents, or the 10 foolish, or sorry, the 10 virgins represent members of the church. Now, someone was mentioning today 1 and 20 that were ready. But in this parable, Jesus is talking about when he comes. And he says there are five what? Wise, and there are five foolish. So that means half of the church, right, is not ready when Jesus comes. That's the parable of the foolish virgins. Five are foolish, five are wise. And we talk about what the oil represents, right? The Holy Spirit. The lamp, what was that to represent? The Bible, the Word of God. But what's interesting in that parable is how many virgins had the Word of God? All of them, what? They all had the Word of God? I've got a problem with this. If they all have the Word of God, shouldn't they all be ready? How many of you have the Word of God? Everybody should raise their hand right now. Okay, everybody should raise their hand. You all have the Word of God. How many are we that are ready? What is the difference, right? I believe the oil, the Holy Spirit, the oil represents the Holy Spirit, that it's talking about the use, the application of God's word. You see, they all have the oil, they all have Bibles, but they might be stuck on the shelf. They're not being used. They don't have a living relationship. They're not connecting with Jesus. They don't know his voice, because in the last part of the parable, you know how it ends? It says that the foolish virgins went out to get oil, and then they came. They came to the door and they were knocking. And Jesus came to the door. And I thought Jesus wanted to save everybody, but he didn't let them in. And he said, because I don't know you. And so I think it's so important and such a blessing to get to know him. Amen. So the first little thing was to recognize who was speaking. The second thing is to listen to his voice, get to know him. Amen? And in Hebrews 4:12, let's go back there again. Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirits and joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what is this saying? If I were to summarize it, I would just say, it's the idea that Jesus knows our hearts. He knows our minds, and he appeals to us through his word at our deepest levels, which transforms our very character. Amen? The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharp like a two-edged sword. It can divide our Phariseeism. What is a Pharisee? A pretender. A Pharisee is one that pretends to have a relationship with God by, you know, checking the boxes, going to church, paying tithe, keeping the Sabbath. But without a relationship with Jesus, we're just pretending. Today, and this is very out of character for me, just ask my wife. I'm very silly and kind of a fun guy. But today I want to be serious for a moment. That's what's out of character for me. And I want to ask the hard question for myself. Do I know him? Is my relationship just Phariseeism? Or do I really have a love relationship with Jesus Christ? Do I know my shepherd, and does he know me? I hope as you search your heart and mind that you can say, yes, I know him. And if not, it's not too late. Amen? Amen. It's not too late to get to know the Word of the Lord, to get to know Jesus Christ. Let's read 2 Peter also, 2 Peter chapter 1. This is, when I first read this text, I mean, I'll be honest, when I first read this text, right over my head, I just kept reading. It didn't mean anything to me. When I first started reading the Bible, I was a student at Union College, there to be a pastor. And someone had told me, or I heard a sermon like this one, that we ought to read our Bibles, right? And I was like, well, I never read my Bible before. I'm in college, and I didn't. They were talking about in college, you know, the prophecies of Daniel, and they alluded to something with lions or something. I didn't know that story. And I'm just going, I have no idea what they're talking about. I didn't know the stories of the Bible. Do you know how many of our children do not know the stories of the Bible? It's frightening. It's frightening. Yeah. Yeah, I was just talking to someone this week, and they had no clue of a simple Bible story. Never heard it before. It's so important that we get to know him through his word. I kind of lost my train of thought there. I got off on that little thing. Oh yeah, 2 Peter. We were going to read 2 Peter. Oh yeah, and I was telling you that when I was in college that I read a lot of these verses in the Bible and I didn't understand. I was totally like not getting it, okay? I'm hoping you're getting it today, what I'm trying to lay down. Picking up what I'm laying down. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. We're at verse 2. Say amen if you're there. Amen. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things, how many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to be by glory and virtue, verse 4, this is the key text, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of what? Wait a minute here. What kind of nature do you have? A carnal, a human nature? But he says that just like Jesus is human and divine, just like his word is human and divine, the Sabbath was just an ordinary day, right? But God set it apart. He sanctified. He said in Ezekiel 20:12, it's a sign that I can set you apart as what? As holy. How are we holy? We're sinners, right? But he has said, no, I've called you to more than that. I want you to partake of my nature. Therefore, the character of Jesus becomes the character of, I'm sorry, I'm just picking on someone. Holly, I'm looking right at you. Becomes the character of Holly. You see that? We become partakers of the divine nature. Our character is transformed from the thief. Okay, that's right. When I was a child, I stole something. I remember that. But anyway, the Lord changed me to be an honest person. The Lord takes our sinful nature and transforms it, and we become partakers of the divine nature. The fruit of the Spirit is the gifts of who? The Holy Spirit. And who are they given to? To us. We have the fruit of the Spirit, which is hate and sadness. It's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, right? And self-control. You have that. Where did it come from? The divine nature. How do we get it? Through the precious promises of what? The Word of God. It's from Jesus, amen? As you interact with him, he changes you. By beholding, you become? Say it again. By beholding, you become? Say, I am changed. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If we could all be vessels of good, righteousness, gentleness, kindness, vessels of truth as we go interact with others, having partaken of the divine nature and sharing it with a world who needs it. Amen. In John 15, verse 7, we read, John 15, 7. We're just about to the conclusion. We're on the last page. But go with me to this is our last verse, I think. John 15, 7. Hold a little bit longer. I know you think I'm wrapping it up. I am. But let's go to John 15, 7 for one more point. I was going to give you three, right? First one, you know, was to recognize who is speaking. The second small thing that can make a big impact is to listen to the voice and get to know him. And the third one we find in John 15, 7. Are you there? Amen. It says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Wow. Now that sounds good. We all like that, right? But what does it mean? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Have you ever tried to memorize some scripture? I know everybody knows Jesus wept, right? That's the easy one, right? It's a little one. But here's the third small thing that can make a big impact in your life. Let me say it again. Memorizing scripture. How can God's word abide in us? Well, it'll abide there if we memorize it. Right? I know it seems like that was something the kids did in school. But it's powerful. I don't know how many times that I met people in the grocery store. They're checking me out, you know, my groceries, right? Or at the post office. And I was able to share a verse. Why? Because I had memorized it, right? God had brought it to my mind at that exact moment. and it blessed them for the day. It's just a small thing, but it could change somebody's life. Because it's what? It's living, and it's powerful. Amen? I cannot tell you how many times a verse came to my mind when I was tempted. Yes, pastor's tempted too, believe it or not. He's human. And guess what? I've been discouraged and sometimes fearful. And a verse came to my mind that has helped me personally. I would say in 2 Peter it said, as we, what, partake of these promises. I would say learn some promises that mean something to you. Because that's what matters, is when it's meaningful, right? Learn some promises that are meaningful to you and put them to what? Memory. And when you do, I cannot tell you how many times God will bring that verse to you and it'll bless you, or you'll be a witness for God to somebody else and it'll encourage them. So in conclusion, the Bible includes many examples of little things that have significant impact, such as, think of Gideon's small army, right, that defeated the Midianites. The widow's small jar of oil that was multiplied to pay off her debts. The single mustard seed that grew into a large tree, right? The principle is simple, that God often works through seemingly insignificant things, like a simple little Bible verse. And faithfulness in small matters is linked to faithfulness in large things. So let's apply what we've learned to our lives today by beginning to put God's word in our lives. What do you say? Won't you join me in committing your life again to Him who loves you? Let's respond today by singing this beautiful hymn, number 286, Wonderful Words of Life. What a gift you've given us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Beautiful words, Lord. Wonderful words. Lord Jesus, yes, we've found You to be true and kind and good to us, a good shepherd, leading us in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. And today we want to admit that it could be better with You and I. It could be better in that we could read Your word to know You, to listen to Your voice, and to follow You. And we pray, Lord, that we could put some of Your words to memory, that it might bless others, that we could be a powerhouse of living words rather than the same old carnal words that so often color our day-to-day conversations. May we be inspired. May You use us and our tongues to glorify Your name. Yes, we recommit our lives to You today, Lord, for Your use. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.